Genesis, Exodus, chapter number 4. Exodus, chapter number 4. It's good to be in church. It's good to be saved on the way to heaven. And I'm so saved it makes the devil mad. Exodus chapter number 4. I want you to look at verse number 1. And we'll read down a couple of verses and bring you a couple of thoughts here. Hopefully it will help us today. And Exodus chapter number 4, verse number 1. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." And the Lord said unto him, "What is that in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. Now, a lot of people don't think God has a sense of humor. And Moses fled from before it. That's what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to have them as pets. You're not supposed to wag them around on your neck. It's a crazy society we live in. A pet snake. The Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth thy hand and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Why? That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that you'd help us this morning get that from your word that we need. Lord, I thank you for these folks coming out today, a good number of folks, and thank you for them, visitors, thank you for them, our home folks. Some are out sick, some are out to... It's got a lot of things going on in their lives and dealing with people in hospitals. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with them right now. God, we thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Here is a very familiar story. Matter of fact, in chapter number 3, the chapter before, everybody remembers the story of the burning bush, where God Moses was walking through the wilderness, 80-year-old man now, walking through the wilderness. And all of a sudden, the burning bush, he sees a bush, it looks like it's burning, he walks up to it, and it's not consumed, and then the bush starts talking. And the bush says, "Moses, Moses, and take your shoes off, the place I'm standing is holy ground." And then God says, "I want you, Moses, to lead my people, the nation of Israel, out of the land of Egypt, out of Egyptian bondage, out of the hand of Pharaoh." And Moses gives all of these excuses. Y'all know anybody like that? Moses says, "Who, me? Can you send anybody else? Is there anybody else available? I have a speech problem. I don't speak that well. Surely somebody else can go beside me." And he gives all of these good excuses. And so God says, "No, I want to send you." And so Moses starts in chapter number 4, verse number 1. And he says, "What if they don't even believe me? What if they, I tell them, I say, well, God told me, spoke to me." He spoke, God, you know, God spoke to me through this bush. It was burning. And Pharaoh, he told, "This bush told me to tell you." You get the picture? And so Moses is like, "They're not going to believe that story. I don't even know your name. What is your name?" God says, "I am that I am." And we preached on that. Don't get us started on that again. Boy, that was good. Moses said, "They're not going to believe me. They're not going to listen to anything I'm saying." So God gets down to the nitty-gritty. He says, "Moses, what's that in your hand?" He looks, and it's a rod, a staff, one of those little crook on it, and it's like a shepherd's staff. He says, throw it down. He threw it down. It turned into a snake. You read the story. Moses fled. And then God says, hey, Moses, go back over there and pick it up by the tail. Moses said, you mean by the head? No, by the tail. Why did God say, pick it up by the tail? God wants Moses to trust him.
Right.
Not man's ability, but God's ability.
Right.
And so he reached down and picked it up by the tail, and it turned into the rod again. You say, what is the significance of this story? Well, I'll tell you, this rod represented Moses' personality. All of his personality was wrapped into this. When he carried this rod, when you see Moses, and y'all help me. You see a guy, got a rod, got a crook on it. What do you think he is? He's a shepherd. And let me help you. He's a shepherd over his father-in-law's sheep. He don't even own the sheep that he's watching after.
Yeah.
So his personality is wrapped up into this staff, this rod. You say, what? So what? You have to remember what used to be in Moses' hand. What used to be in Moses' hand was a scepter from Pharaoh. Moses was a prince in the world, the Egyptian world. Boy, he was big and high up. But he chose, according to Hebrews chapter number 11, to forsake those things of the world and become a lowly person.
Right.
To hold a shepherd's staff. To deliver people he didn't even know.
Right. Yeah.
That sounds like somebody. That sounds like somebody that used to have way up there in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, set all of that aside, came down to be a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
He came down to this world to deliver a bunch of people he didn't even know. I know he knows everybody. But yeah, you've got the picture. To deliver a bunch of people. Hey. Why would he do that for me? Why would God do that for me? And Moses, and wrapped up in this rod is his personality. Wrapped up in this rod is Moses' problems. Wrapped up in this rod is Moses' potential. This rod that Moses had. Did you know this rod parted the Red Sea? This rod turned water into blood. This rod that Moses carried brought the plague of frogs down on the Egyptians. I mean, it was this rod that caused an east wind to blow, the locusts to come in. It was this rod that parted the Red Sea back and killed Pharaoh and all of his army. This is a mighty, mighty rod. But not before it's thrown down. I'm asking you this morning, what's that in your hand? What you got in your hand that God wants and you won't throw it down? He's going to give it back to you. He just wants to see if you'll give it to him. Trust God. Take it by the tail. Moses, I cannot do anything with your life. I cannot part the Red Sea. I cannot close up the Red Sea on Pharaoh. I cannot turn the water into blood until you give me what's in your hand. Cast it down. It becomes dead. And you pick up, you throw down Moses' rod. Pick up God's rod.
Amen.
There has to be a change. There has to be a transformation that takes place. For God can use you and use your life. There has to be a transformation that takes place.
Amen.
You can't do it in your own strength. You can't do it on your own. Listen, you can't make your family come to church. You can't do anything with your husband. You can't do anything with your wife. Bunch of henpecked men, ain't it? Hallelujah. They're scared. See, I'm up here. You ever thought about just taking your job, throwing it down on the altar and say, hey, God, that's your job. God says, all right, pick it back up. Here we have on Mother's Day, ladies, we have Mother's Day. You know what we do? Have baby dedication. All you mamas, daddies, bring them little babies up here. You know what you're doing? Throwing them babies down. I know we're not doing it. You don't go up here and just throw your baby down. I understand that. Don't miss the point. You're coming up here, throwing that baby down, saying, God, there's my baby. I want to pick up. When I leave off of this altar and go back to my seat, I want to pick up God's baby. There's a difference when God says, what is that in your hand? What is that in your hand that's standing between you and serving God?
Right.
Basically, what God was saying is, hey, Moses, what are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? Let me ask y'all this. What are y'all holding on to for salvation? What are y'all holding on to for salvation? What are you holding on to? Well, preacher, I'll tell you what I'm holding on to. I'm clinging to the baptistry waters. Boy, I'm telling you. Boy, I got baptized and they give me this little nice certificate and this nice little plaque. And boy, I'm holding on to that for to get me to heaven. You in trouble. There ain't been a body of water ever made that's ever saved anybody, washed anybody from their sins. Well, are you going to heaven? What are you holding on to? Well, now, I'm a member of so-and-so.
Yeah.
Well, let me help you on that. Whatever name you got above your little door, if you go up, it's going to fall off. If you go down, it's going to burn off. Amen. Your name, it don't make any difference with God. You better know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's very simple. It's not joining the church. It's not kissing the Pope's big toe. It's not shaking hands with Simon Peter. It's not coming down here and taking the sacraments. It's not coming down here and signing the card and taking a banana and being one of the bunch. It's not all about that. That's not salvation. Salvation is trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. You ought to join a church. You ought to pick the banana up and be one of the bunch. You ought to show your testimony of baptism. That's not what saves people.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, say, what are you holding on to for salvation? What is the answer in your mind? You have to answer that. What is the answer in your mind? What are you holding on to this morning for salvation? A lot of people are holding on. They're holding on to the pew. They're holding on to their pride. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Y'all heard about the rooster? He thought the sun rose every morning just to hear him crow. Some are holding on to the pew. Where are those days? Where are those days to where I remember when my dad was a preacher, and several of you remember some of the old-time preachers, and boy, they'd grip the pew, the back. I know we got seats and all, but they'd grip the back of that pew, and boy, they would stand there and hold on to that pew. They wouldn't let go. Where are those days? Holding on to the pew, holding on to the pride. Some are holding on to the past. Some of you just won't let your past go. Listen, let me try to help you with that. The devil brings up my past all the time. I'd be down here praying. He said, well, you remember this, this, and this. And this is what I do. If the devil brings up your past, you show the devil his future. And he'll leave you alone. The devil said, well, Jeremy, you remember what you did? I said, yep, I remember that. I got it under the blood. And the Lord don't even go up there and ask you. He don't even remember me doing it. Because it's under the blood. You get it under the blood, never to be remembered against you ever again. I mean, stay in your seat. Don't get excited, but that's good news. And then I say, now, devil, since you brought up my past, let me show you. Revelation chapter number 20. You're going to be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Devil? Devil? Devil, where'd you go? Some of you are worried about your past. You can't praise God. You can't do nothing because of your past. Let me help you. Get your past under the blood. If it takes getting down here to this altar, get your past under the blood, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forget about your past. Get forgiveness for it and get it under the blood and go forth.
Amen.
Stop holding on to your past. Stop holding on to some of your practices. Sinful practices. Some of that may be standing between you and God. I know we all see them, but I'm saying there's some things in your life that's standing between you and serving God. Some people are holding on to something. Let me give you this one. This is like two or three messages thrown into. I really didn't know what to preach, so I got three messages, put them together, and made a sandwich. Get two pieces of bread, bologna, fried bologna, mayonnaise, pickle, mustard, tomato. You just make a sandwich. Some are holding on. Hey, some are holding out.
Yeah.
Over in Acts chapter number 24, I think I got it marked here, Acts 24, let me read this to you. Acts 24, Paul is preaching before Felix, and this is what he said. In certain days when Felix came to his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Well, Paul was preaching. Felix said, I won't hear Paul preach. Well, here he comes. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled, got under conviction. And answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given to him by Paul. That he should be loose him. You know, he thought, well, maybe Paul will give me some money so we can get out of jail. Felix was holding out.
Yeah.
Holding out on his conversion. Holding out for convenience. You ever heard people say, well, I'm going to get saved and all, but I'm going to wait till winter. I'm going to wait till summer's over. You know, because after you get saved, they expect you to be at church all the time. So I'm going to wait till winter to get saved. That way, you know, ain't a lot of going on and I can get at church. Holding out for conversion. Holding out for convenience. Holding out for compensation. Some of you, you think more of your job than you do the Lord.
Right.
Amen. Think more of money than you do the Lord.
Amen.
Bible says this, Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
Right. Right.
Some are holding out. Some are somebody holding on. Acts chapter number 5, there was a group of folks holding back. Aquila and Priscilla, they told the Lord, Acts chapter number 5, we're going to sell the property here, we're going to give it to the church. Hallelujah, that's a good idea. And they said, you know, that's what we're going to do. Husband and wife said, that's what we're going to do. Come down here, when it came time to give, they only give just a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Well, when Aquila come in, Ananias and Sapphira, excuse me, wrong book, hallelujah. Ananias come in and said, hey, here's my check. God just killed him.
Right.
Well, we'd have a bunch of givers if that happened a couple times. I mean, boom, there he is laying right there, right in front of the offering plates. Had to haul him out. Well, his wife, she was a little coming behind. It took her a little longer to get ready to come to church. So here she come. And here she come, and she went up there and didn't know her husband just kicked over. And she's like, yeah, we're going to give this much. Boom, she's dead. They're holding back.
Right.
Holding back. Some people holding back. Now, it may not be about money, but some of you are holding back. You could do a whole lot more than what you're doing. I mean, the whole message is, what are you holding on to? Moses, what are you holding on to? Well, it's a rod. Well, God says, throw it down.
Amen.
Get rid of it. Give it to me. And I'll transform it and give it back to you so you can part the Red Sea with it. What are you holding on to? Well, over in Exodus chapter number 17, Moses was fighting the Amalekites. Moses got tired, his old man, and he sat up there on a rock. Every time he'd hold that rod up, nation of Israel, man, they'd be whipping the Amalekites.
Yeah.
His arms would get tired like this. And they start losing. So Aaron and Ur got up there, held his arms up like this. And they won. Hey, we need some folks to hold up.
Right.
We need some people to hold up. Hold up.
Right.
Hold the church up.
Amen.
Hey, pray for your church. Participate in your church. Participate with your purse. Participate through promotion. How many people are you told about the Lord coming to church? Hey, hold it. Hold it up. Tell them where you go to church. Unless you don't act right, then we don't want you to tell them where you go to church. I mean, don't be somewhere where you're not supposed to be, and you got a Holy Hill Baptist Church sticker on the back of your glass. And people driving by going, get me a razor blade, and I'm going to go by and get that thing off. Hold up. And then Philippians chapter 2, he says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You know what Paul said to do? Hold forth. Hold up. Hold forth. Forth. Hold forth. You know how we're supposed to live? Holding forth the word of life.
Amen.
You hold that before you and walk toward it. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. It ain't like this, holding forth on Sunday, and then after church is over, now you stay right there. We'll be back next Sunday. Be good. You be good. And if we have a flat or something, we'll call you. We'll need you. Hello now. You stay right there. A lot of people think they lock God up in here. Lock him up in here. He stays in here all week long. We lock the doors up. Like I say, God, you stay in here now. We'll see you Wednesday night. Folks, you are the church.
Amen.
When you walk, when you go to Walmart, you're the church.
Amen.
That's why I put on something one time. I said, stop going to church. Be the church.
Amen.
Wherever you're at, just be the church.
Yeah.
Holding forth the word of life.
Amen.
What is that in your hand? What are you holding on to? Some of you holding on. Some of you holding out. Some of you may be holding back. Some of you got some talents I know you're holding back on. You got some talents you're holding back on. Moses, what is it in your hand? It's my personality. My bitterness. What are you holding on to? Well, God, you know what I'm holding on to. I'm mad at you. I'm mad at you for doing this, this, and this. And I didn't approve of how you done this and this and this. And I'm bitter about it. God says, well, throw it down. No, I want to keep it. Because I like being bitter. I like making everybody else around me miserable too. What are you holding on to? Lord, that's my attitude. My attitude. Lord, you know my attitude, sorry. Walk in, I'm always, and I want to make everybody else miserable. Seemed like I just now got to where the plow hit the dirt. That's my attitude. I like being negative about everything. I like being negative about everything, God. God says, won't you throw that down and get rid of that? I can't use you till you do. God, I'm bitter. I can't use you till you throw that down. What do you got in your hand? That's some sin that I like, and I ain't giving it up for nobody. God says, won't you throw that down? Get rid of that. You'll never be able to be a deliverance. Deliver. Moses, you'll never be able to deliver them people over there until you find out what's in your hand and throw it down. Get rid of it. And let God change it. That rod right there, and I'm closing, that rod right there was passed on to Aaron. And it wound up in the Ark of the Covenant called Aaron's rod that budded. Aaron's rod that budded. Now maybe you're not getting that, but Moses started out with a dead stick. Dead sticks with no root in the ground, don't bud. But after Moses threw it down, God changed it. It became alive. God will take. Some of you just may need to throw yourself down. Maybe you're just full of self. Wait, what are you holding on to? Just me. Just me, God. Look how pretty I am. What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? Well, just me. Because you couldn't do this without me. We would have to close church if I didn't show up this morning, God. Now, y'all are going, nobody says that. Some of you have the attitude of that. God said, won't you get rid of that? Won't you throw, you desperately, God says, let me put that in the Hebrew for you. You desperately need to throw that down. And get rid of that. Well, I'm trying to think of something else. I think we've said enough, but here's the main point. What are you holding on to? That's standing between you and God. That's a funny thing. God says, go over and deliver them people. Well, I can't. I have a speech impediment. This, that, and the other. And God asked this crazy question out of the middle of the blue. Oh, Moses, what's that in your hand? It's the very thing that stood between Moses and delivering them people out of the land of Egypt. What's that in your hand? Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that's what we were supposed to do. Lord, I pray the folks that are here, Lord, they'll look and they'll search and see what they're holding on to. God, I pray, Lord, we'd fall down on this altar, ask forgiveness for some things that maybe we're holding out, holding on to, holding back, whatever the case might be. Lord, the most important thing for those that may be in this room right now that don't know you, is their personal Savior. Lord, what are they holding on to for salvation? I pray, God, that you'd convict their hearts. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Won't you stand to your feet, all the building? Won't you start to come? The altar's open. Won't you come? Pray. Whoever needs to come, you come.
pray about whatever you need to pray about. Whatever you're holding on to. We'll give you a few minutes to pray. Preacher, I don't know I'm saved. Well, you can know today. You can get saved right there where you're standing. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I need to be saved. I put my faith and trust in you and what you did on the cross for me. Shed your blood for me. Pay for my sins.